The Lord be with you.
And with
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain. And after he had sat down, his disciples came to him. He began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the land. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the clean of heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are they who are persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they insult you and persecute you and utter every kind of evil against you falsely because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward will be great in heaven. Thus they persecuted the prophets who were before you." The Gospel of the Lord. Good. So once again, good morning, brothers and sisters. For the next 3 weeks, gospel reading is going to be from the Sermon on the Mount. That's the Gospel of Matthew, chapters 5, 6, and 7. The Sermon on the Mount, there's enough in here that you could meditate on any of it for an entire lifetime. And it all begins with the Beatitudes that you just heard. Blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are the meek, blessed are the pure of heart. The Beatitudes, you know them well. In fact, I think the Beatitudes are as well known as they are badly understood. Everyone thinks that they know why these are important, but they have a hard time putting it into words. I bet you anything that you've never heard a satisfying homily about the Beatitudes. I betcha. Just going to take an educated guess. And the reason for that, well, there's two reasons for that, actually. The first is that the subject matter is very mysterious. It talks about blessedness. Blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are the merciful, blessed are the meek. And what is that? What is blessedness? What is it? Well, some people translate it as happy. You ever heard that before? They read the Beatitudes and it's happier the poor in spirit, happier the merciful. They translate it as happy. Blessedness means a heck of a lot more than happy. Happy comes to us from the old English word hap, which means luck. Happy is driving to work and hitting all the green lights as you make your way. Happy is a 50% off store-wide sale. Happy is winning the lottery, right? Happy is luck. Blessedness is much, much deeper than that. Blessedness is a mysterious joy and a sense of well-being that absolutely nothing in this world can take away. You want to know why? Because it doesn't come from anything in this world. It's based entirely on what comes from God. That's blessedness. That's the first reason why these Beatitudes are hard to talk about and hard to understand. Second reason is because each individual Beatitude says so much. Now, personally, I can't talk about them all. What I like to do is just take them one at a time. So that's what we're going to do. Just take them one at a time. Stick with me long enough and we'll get through them all. Okay? But for today, let's just start with the first one and try to have a handle as to what it means. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. What does that mean, poor in spirit? Well, it means a heck of a lot more than just material poverty. In Greek, there's two words for poor. Paines and tokos. They both mean poor, but they mean it in different ways. Paines, that's the word that means poor in the sense that somebody doesn't have any luxuries. They shun luxury. They live a life of deliberate simplicity. That's one way of saying poor. You look at all of our great religious orders. Missionaries of Charity. You know, I remember I was with the Carthusian monks and the Trappist monks. And they take a vow of poverty. This is what they mean when they take a vow of poverty. It means that they don't have luxuries, but they're not lacking in the basic material necessities either. They've got enough to eat. They got a roof over their heads. Jesus living in Nazareth, he lived that kind of poverty. Paines. He wasn't destitute, wasn't living in the gutter, but he shunned luxuries. That's one way of understanding poor. The other word is tokos, and that means absolute, complete material destitution. Poor in the sense of tokos means you live in the gutter, you don't even have a roof over your head, and you might die of starvation within 24 hours. Of those two words, which one does Jesus use here in the Gospel of Matthew to say, blessed are those who are poor? Does he mean simplicity, or does he mean absolute, complete destitution? You might be surprised to learn that the word he uses is absolute, complete destitution. Tokos is the word. And that's one of the reasons why. It means a lot more than just material poverty. All of us, whether we know it or not, are absolutely, completely destitute in God's presence. You're completely needy. You don't have so much as a guarantee of your next heartbeat. That's how we are in God's presence. Now, when you're poor in spirit, it means that you know that you will that, and even that you delight in that because you know what it means that God provides. I'll give you a little story to help illustrate, okay? A little story. Here's a story of Mother Teresa in her house in Calcutta, in which one day she was going to host a lunch for 300 visiting religious sisters who are coming to visit the house in Calcutta that day. And long about 10 o'clock in the morning, the sister who's in charge of the kitchen comes exasperatedly running into Mother Teresa's office, and she says, Mother, Mother, we're out of food. We got 300 nuns coming to have lunch with us in 2 hours, and we have no food. Mother Teresa says, we have no food? And the nun says, we have no food. And she says, well, your job is to go to the chapel and tell Jesus that we have no food. She says, okay. Goes off to the chapel, says, Jesus, we've got no food, and we could use some food. An hour later, she gets a phone call from the school district of Calcutta. It's been a water main break in the city, and the kids have to go home early from school. Could you use some extra lunches? God provides. Mother Teresa used to say, God has lots of money. That's poor in spirit. When you know it, will it, and even delight in it. That's what it means. Now, this is not a cover for you to be materially indulgent. People think, oh, great, it means spiritual poverty, so bring on that Rolls Royce. No, it doesn't mean that. Because money is funny. No sooner do you have money, you begin to rely on money. And when you rely on money, you're not relying on God. We've got a lot of stuff, don't we? We're not poor. And if you're materially blessed, you know what that means? That means you've got a burden your whole life long. You've got to continually fight to stay simple. It's kind of like dieting. You're always, always working on it. But it's very, very important that we do. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You know a great summary of that? It was in our psalm response. Psalm 34, it says, look to God that you might be radiant with joy. Does that describe you? Radiant with joy? Probably not. But if it doesn't describe you, if you're not yet radiant with joy, it means you're not yet looking to God enough. We're looking to all kinds of other things, when the fact of the matter is, God alone is enough. And that's a tremendous, tremendous task, so that ours will be the kingdom of heaven. Sometimes, God doesn't just want to get you into heaven. Sometimes God wants to get heaven into you. Let's take our Lord's words to heart, that he might do that in your soul and in mine. Amen.